Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Who is ready for the word tonight? I'm excited to be preaching the word to you tonight. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fun. I love our church. Don't you just love our church?
Yeah.
We're so blessed to have the greatest people in all
of
San Diego in our church at one place at one time. It's amazing. But you can grab a seat. Give the person next to you a high five. Tell them they're good looking. Give your second preference neighbor another high five. Thank you so much, worship team. You guys can have a break for a minute, but no, don't go away too far. It won't be long and be back up again. But who's ready to have fun in church tonight? Come on. This is my first time preaching with a headset. I feel a bit strange, to be honest with you. I feel very strange. But if I start doing this mid-message, it's because it's just weird. But it's so good to be preaching to you. I'm so excited. Hey, it's always an honor. Let's give honor to our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. It is always an honor and privilege to preach in their pulpit, so I always want to do that. But tonight I'm going to be preaching a slightly adapted version of a message I preached last Sunday night up at our North Campus, which, if you don't know, it's like an hour from here up in Carlsbad. It's like the other side of San Diego. So anyway, it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. The message is called The Devil is a Liar, and let's pray, shall we? God, thank you for every single person here tonight, God, at South Campus. I pray, God, that it won't be my words being said, God, but it'll be your words being said tonight. The lives are going to be transformed. We're going to have some fun in the process. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's do this.
Come on, Drew, let's go.
Have you ever believed a lie?
Yeah.
Just the front row. Everybody from the second row back? No, not me. Hey, come on, you ever believed a lie?
Yeah.
Come on. Have you ever bought into a lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some aggressive yes in there. Some people bought in some bad lies. But you know what I'm talking about, right? It's midnight. No worse. It's 1 a.m. It's 1:45 a.m. Let's go there. 1:45. You shouldn't be awake right now. Young people, you shouldn't be awake at 1:45. The only people awake at 1:45 are shift workers and parents with small children. Nothing good happens at 1:45, apart from REM sleep. So it's 1:45 and you're in front of your couch and you're laying in a pool of Dorito mess. You've eaten a whole bag, a family-sized bag, but you've eaten it by yourself, which is gluttony. It's a sin. It's not good. It may be good at the time, but it's not. You've eaten a whole bag of Doritos. You're ashamed of yourself. You hit a rock bottom moment. You're covered in crumbs. You're laying in front of your TV. You should have gone to bed 3 hours ago, but you're still watching TV. You're watching infomercials. You know what I'm talking about? Infomercials. They put infomercials at 1:45 a.m. because no one's making good choices at 1:45 a.m. So, you ever seen an infomercial at 8 a.m. in the morning? You haven't. Mum and dad walking out the door with the kids. They catch the ad. We're not going to work. Pick up the phone. Like, that doesn't happen. People don't make bad choices at 8 a.m. They make bad choices at 1:45 when they're covered in Doritos. And the ad comes on, and you know the ad, because we've all seen it, and statistically many of us have fallen for it, but it's the ad for the ab crunch, the ab cruncher. And so you're watching the ad, and you start to believe the lie that it's possible that you could look just like that person on TV with 5% body fat, not a single hair on his body, perfectly tanned and greased up. you believe that in 30 short days, that could be, in fact, you if you just were to go ahead and make three easy payments of $19.99. And so you go ahead and you roll out of the couch, which is difficult because you're obese and you're unhealthy and you've eaten a bag of Doritos. So you roll out and you stumble to your phone and you pull out your credit card or whatever you pay with, and next thing you know, you've bought the ab cruncher. And so you feel like, man, I'm on the right track now. And you grab one more bag of Doritos and then you eat that and you go to bed because you're going to start your diet tomorrow, not today. So you've made a bad choice. It's not true. You're not going to look like that in 30 days. I'm sorry. The guy's got different genetics to you. There's a lot of reasons why you're not going to look like that guy. He's done 50,000 ab crunches, maybe 100,000. George Valdez does 100,000 a week. That's why he shred it. So then the next ad comes on and you know, it's for the most amazing vacuum cleaner of all time. And this vacuum's amazing. This vacuum has been used in space. This vacuum is banned in Texas. That's how powerful it is. This vacuum is so amazing. This vacuum is so amazing that you could have a rug made of polar bear fur. I'm sorry if you're into polar bears, but you know, you could have a beautiful white polar bear rug, and you could get a bottle of red wine, and you could pour the bottle of red wine onto the polar bear rug, and you could pull the vacuum out, and you could vacuum up the red wine, and oh my gosh, the polar bear is unharmed. It's amazing. This is the most amazing vacuum of all time. And then when you think, how can this vacuum become any better? You realize that you are one of the 15 people in the country that own your own bowling ball. And you realize that this vacuum is that strong and powerful that you can now, instead of having to traditionally lean and pick up a bowling ball like anyone would, you can now, because this vacuum is so amazing, you can pick up such bowling ball with vacuum to move from point A to point B. So after the ad for that, you've seen it, you've already got your credit card out. You may as well go ahead. You've got a mess, there's Doritos all over the carpet anyway, so you need a vacuum cleaner inevitably. So you go ahead and you pull the credit card out, you make a purchase. And the thing that got you over the edge was just the fact that they were going to give you some steak knives for free. Some steak knives that are so powerful they can cut through a shoe, because that's what you want knives for. Oh, don't throw out those shoes, I haven't cut them up first. Why would you throw away whole shoes? So you've got the free steak knives, you've got the ab cruncher, you've got the vacuum cleaner, and you've got five easy payments to deal with over the next few months. But then you realize that you just bought a lie. That it's not what you thought it was going to be. You're disappointed. You haven't got the abs. You've still got the stain on the carpet. The bowling ball still remains in point A. It hasn't been moved to point B by the vacuum cleaner. The steak knives are useless. So you've actually bought a lie. Late night TV, infomercials, lies. They're lies. Have you ever bought a lie that perhaps is a bit more devastating and detrimental than perhaps wasting five easy payments? Maybe you've bought a lie when you were 14 and somebody said to you, hey, I want you to smoke what's in this pipe, because if you do this, we'll be your friend, and you haven't got any friends, and hey, you know, all your problems will go away if you smoke what's in this pipe. Yeah. Or maybe the lie you believe was a bit more devastating. Maybe when you were a kid, someone who you looked up to said to you, man, you're nothing, you're a nobody, you aren't going to amount to anything, as a label. And so you've walked around your whole life believing that. Such a small comment, the person maybe didn't mean anyway, but you've walked your whole life with that lie and you believe it to be true today. What a tragedy it would be. Or maybe you believed a lie that you've told yourself. I find that sometimes the most devastating lies that we can believe are lies that we in fact tell ourselves. You see, the devil prides himself on being the father of lies. Yeah. That's what he would refer to himself as. If you would ever meet the devil, and I hope you never do, you would find that his business card says, the devil, CEO of hell. He's prideful. It's about titles and all that stuff. And then he has the bottom there. He's got father of lies. He prides himself on being the father of lies. In fact, the devil's language is lies. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. And we all know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, do we not? That's kind of his mission. That's his mandate. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing right now. He's kind of focused on those three things. And so the devil's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy, but his method is lies. And the easiest way for the devil to steal, kill, and destroy our lives is through lies. Lies that he tells us, lies that others tell us, lies we perhaps tell ourselves. And I'm not gonna give the devil props, because I don't think he deserves too many. But I would say that he's not a bad liar. I'd say he's an okay liar. I'd say he's quite good at lying, in fact. And tragically, and I'm not trying to be negative or morbid or confronting, but tragically, every 12 minutes, somebody in our country decides to take their life because at some point, they believed a lie that there was no way out. There was no hope. And tragically, for every person that is successful, 25 people try. So I've been on the stage right now for just 10 minutes. So right now there's 26 911 calls pretty much happening all around our country from family members, loved ones, for people that believed a lie from the devil, that there was no way out, that there's no hope for them, that there's no future for them, no destiny for them, which is such a tragedy to me. Because our Bibles say that we don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says we have a sound mind. And the devil knows he can't take away the power of God. He knows he can't remove the love of God. But he does know that he can access our mind. That's why he goes after our minds. But you and I have a sound mind. But he knows the easiest way for him is to target our mind. And here's the thing, I don't want the devil to have access to my mind. I don't want the devil to have access to your mind. I have to ask myself this question, is my mind a peaceful place or is it just a playground for the devil?
Yeah, come on.
If you're taking notes, maybe you want to write that down tonight. Is my mind a peaceful place or is it a playground for the devil? Because the only way the devil gets access to our minds is through lies. That's his only way. That's his secret code to get into our minds is by telling us and selling us on lies.
Yeah, yeah.
So tonight, I want to talk to you about two different stories from the Bible in the next 90 minutes we have. And then we're going to pray for some people. It's going to be awesome. But Matthew chapter 4, two stories. The first story is this, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tested by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and at the end of it, he was famished. Of course he was. That's a long time. Verse 3, then the tempter approached him and said, underline this, if you really are God's son, then turn these stones into bread. That's a temptation that I could understand. Turn these stones. He's not saying, hey, turn these stones into kale. He's saying, turn these stones into delicious, warm bread, carbs. He's saying, turn these, I mean, seriously, you thought Jesus was awesome. And then you realize that he's in a desert on a 40-day fast and he has the ability to turn stones into bread and he didn't. That is amazing, people. That is amazing. That deserves a little hand clap. Because that is discipline. Anyway, that's not the point. Then Jesus says, it takes more than bread to keep man alive. You actually live by every word that comes out of God's mouth. Then the devil took him to the holy city and stood him on a pinnacle of the temple. And then he said, here we are again. The devil says the same four words. If you really are God's son, then throw yourself down. Your angels are going to save you. You're going to be fine. Because if you really are who you say you are, then you should be able to do that. If you really are. You see, in this story, the devil is actually questioning who you are. Who is Jesus? He's going after the identity of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I find that he doesn't just use this question on Jesus in a desert. He'll use this question on you and I in our everyday life. Come on, if you really are a Christian, if you really are, you wouldn't be doing that. If you really are, you wouldn't be experiencing that. If you really are, you wouldn't be walking through that thing. The devil would love for you and I to find our identity in anything else but the Word of God.
Yeah.
He'd love that.
Yeah.
He would love it. And I preached a message a couple of months ago called Identity Theft, and I don't have time to dig too deep into it, but I'd love for you to listen to that. I talk more in depth about how the devil comes to steal our identity. But to summarize it, essentially, in the next few minutes, if our identities are found in the wrong thing, we can't find our identity in the right thing, which is the Word of God. So if our identity is found in And we're spoiled for choice. So if our identity is found in what we do, then we're always going to need to be doing something. If it's found in success, then it's lost in failure. If our identity is found in popularity, then we'll just be part of the crowd. If our identity is found in our appearance, then we just embark on this impossible quest to look perfect, but we're never going to look perfect. And even the greatest looking people are still one station away from perfect. And so it's a never-ending thing. If we try and find our identity in our possessions, then our possessions will actually end up possessing us. We won't possess them. If we try and find our identity in what others say about us, then we're either going to sink to the level that they've told us we're going to be, or we'll start living for affirmation from man. We'll start needing that hit, that affirmation. Come on, tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm good. So we can't live like that. We can't find our identity in all those other things. So when the devil says, if you really are, it's actually a really powerful story. It's actually a really powerful passage of scripture, because it talks about such an important part of our lives. And the greatest way for the devil to mess with who you are is to have you believe that you're something that you're not. That's the easiest way for the devil to take your identity, to get you and I to believe that we're something we're actually not. We're not. I need a volunteer. I need Christian. Come up here. Christian Franco. Come on, Christian. Who loves Christian? Christian Franco. I love Christians. Just, you can stand right there, man. Right there, that's good. He's a model, so I had to pay him to do this. But the devil comes along, and he loves to label us, because he loves to go after identity. He does that through labeling us. He does it through telling us who we are. So he'll come up to you, the devil. He'll tell you, hey, man, you're a failure, Christian. Wow. There you go. Then once he's got you feeling like you're a failure, he'll follow up with hopelessness. Wow. Man, because you're already a failure. So the hopeless is an easy sell. If someone's already a failure, this is easy. Hopelessness, man. So he's got you feeling like a failure. He's got you feeling hopeless. And then he'll change direction a little bit. He'll get you feeling some shame. You might want to put that one on, you know, somewhere in the middle there. And you go, just hit down, man. He'll get you feeling shame. Wow. Oh, shame, such an easy sell. Because we've all done something wrong. Yeah. Shame, shame. Anxious, he'll get you feel. He loves anxiety. Oh man, anxiety. Oh my gosh, talk about the battle of our generation. Oh my gosh. So, you know, I think it's one thing to have anxiety from time to time. It's another thing to live with the label of anxious. So the devil would love for you to be labeled anxious. He loves that. Man, you've been working out. Did you buy an ab swing? Yeah, Lupita. And then, you know, you only got to have anxiety for so long, and then it has to turn into depression. So he'll call you depressed. Wow. That was an easy one to stick, thanks to the bicep you've got there. Oh, well, you just got rid of failure. Well done. That was him. That was him, man. He'll get you feeling worthless. This is just some. I mean, he's got hundreds of these. An addict. Come on, man. You're an addict. Are you really? Are you serious? You're an addict. You're addicted to that. You're not going to get rid of that addiction. Just you're an addict. Get used to it. You're an addict. He'll call you a mistake. You know, your parents just had a fun time for a few moments, and here you are. He'll call you a sinner. These are just a few things he likes to call you, and they're falling off you, which is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're falling off him. Thank you, Lord. So, devil, you can just stand there. Try and stand still so they can help for the illustration. So, the devil wants to put all these labels on you and I. He loves labels. Because if he's got us understanding the wrong label, then how can God put the right one on us? Yeah. How can we read our word and discover the right labels when we're busy with the wrong ones the devil's already given us? That's why the Bible is so important. The Word of God is so important. You and I have to be in the Word of God, because for every single label the devil puts on you and I, there's a scripture to undo what he's done. So when the devil says you're a failure, you can read Proverbs 24, which says, the righteous may fall 7 times, but I still get back up. When the devil says that you're hopeless, you can say Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. When the devil says there's shame on you, he says, for God not come to condemn the world, he came to save the world. When he says you're anxious, you can say, fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. When he says you're depressed, he says you're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Come on, if Drake can get it right, started from the bottom, now you're here. Can we please read Deuteronomy? When he says you're worthless, you can say I'm God's masterpiece. When he says you're an addict, you can say I can do all things through Christ. When he says you're a mistake, you can say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And when he says you're a sinner, you can say if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You and I don't have to live with these labels the devil has for us. All these labels are removed when you and I open up this thing. It's called a Bible. If you don't have one, we're going to give you one by the end of tonight. People are living with labels they don't need to live with. Pick up this thing. Man, everything you need. Awesome. Thanks, Christian. Good job. If you really are an attack on identity, the devil wants to attack your identity. He's an identity thief. So that's the first story. Let's go to the second story now. Adam and Eve. I might have the worship team come. Don't get too excited. I'm getting them up early. Adam and Eve. We all know this story. Well, most of us do. Most of us do. Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say? Four words. Did God really say? Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree of the trees in the garden? So those four words, did God really say, with a question mark on the end of them, happened to be the four words that would change humanity, change the world forever. Did God really say? Verse 2, of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, Eve said. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it or you will die. So the devil says, oh, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. And Eve was convinced. She saw that tree looked beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Of course it does. Because the lies always look good from afar. Come on. Come on. The lies from the devil always, this is not even my message, but the lies of the devil always look good from a distance. You know, the young person who's making the stand, you know, I think I'm gonna wait till I get married before I go and hop into bed with somebody who stands and makes that strong stance. You know, from a distance, you know, you may see your friends and they're talking about how much fun they're having and all this great stuff they're doing and their life's so awesome. But that's from afar. But when you go up close and you ask the real questions, how's that working out for you? Sin always looks different from a distance than it does under a microscope. And the appeal of that fruit, man, from afar, looks good. But up close, whole different story. Anyway, I got distracted. She wanted it. Eve wanted it. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took the fruit and she ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her. There's proof. Gentlemen, this is not good for us. Because for many years we've been blaming Eve and women, but it says here that Adam was with her. So this sucks. Because Adam was equally at fault, probably more at fault, because if he was being a good husband, he would have been leading his wife to a better place. And this would never would have happened if Adam was at a merge conference. Yeah. Never would have happened. Could have been avoided. Yeah. Thanks, Adam. Adam's got to have a hard time in heaven. The amount of preachers that have said, thanks, Adam. He's going to be the most unpopular guy in heaven. I'm sorry, Adam. I'm sorry, man. Anyway, he ate it too. At that moment. Okay, check this out. So their eyes were open. Didn't the devil say their eyes were going to be opened? Yes, he did. But it wasn't the deal that he talked about. Their eyes were open, but they didn't know good and evil. In fact, it says here, and suddenly they felt shame on their nakedness. So they sewed together fig leaves and to cover themselves. So let's just tie these stories together. Let's tie these stories together. So in the story of Jesus in the wilderness, the devil lied to him by saying, if you really are, this was an attack on his identity. And then here in this story, the devil says to Eve, did God really say? And this was an attack on God's identity. This was an attack on the promises of God. So I find this interesting, isn't an interesting insight, because the devil doesn't talk that much in the Bible, but I find his strategies intriguing. In one story, he goes after identity, and the other story, he goes after the promises of God. And he goes after it through questioning, getting us to question, am I really? Did God really say? Did God really say? Now, the devil is so divisive. He's so divisive. Did God really say? Man. You see, the devil knows he can't take away the promises of God. He knows he can't. He has no right to take away the promises of God. He cannot take away Scripture. The devil can't take away your Bible. He can't. In fact, he could send a thief into your home to break into your home and steal your Bible. And guess what? The joke's on him, because you've probably got an iPhone and you can just pull out your iPhone and there's another Bible. The devil's never going to take away the Word of God. He will never take away the Word of God. And that's not his strategy, because he knows he can't. He doesn't need to if he can just get into our minds and get us to take away the Word of God, to get us to question the Word of God. Did God really say? You know, I would maybe compare the devil to, and this is not a dig at anyone in the law profession, but I would maybe compare the devil to like a really shady or a really corrupt lawyer. You know, like the kind of lawyer that you like scares you a little bit. I would compare him, the devil, to like a really evil lawyer. Because lawyers are quite, they're good salespeople. Devil's a good salesperson. And I kind of get this picture sometimes that the devil is in a courtroom and he has some of us on a stand. And he's up there, he's all confident, strutting around the courtroom with his hair all sleek back, like a lawyer, looking all expensive suit, charging you thousands of dollars per second. He's like that, but he's got some people on the stand and he's asking them, did God really say? That's what he's doing in that courtroom. He's saying, did God really say? He's got somebody in here who's sick right now. He's got you on a stand and he's saying, did God really say that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed? Did God really say that? And why are you still sick? He's gonna question, did God really say that? To the family who's in the middle of drama right now. Man, your house is like Jerry Springer. He's got you in the stand too. And he's saying, did God really say that he'd work everything together for good? For those who love him, who are called to his purpose. Did God really say that? Come on, just, you guys are never gonna get along. Just forget about it. Don't bother, don't pray for each other, don't forgive each other. Just, it is what it is. God didn't say that, he didn't mean that. To the person who's feels like they're just drowning in depression and they're not sure what to do, he has that person on the stand and he's saying to them, did God really say, who the Son sets free is free indeed? Free indeed. That's a pretty strong word, indeed. No, God didn't mean that. God meant free maybe, or free possibly, or free for some people, or whatever happens, happens. Just go with it. You're depressed. Come on, I've already labeled you it. Your grandfather was depressed, your father was depressed, you're depressed. You have a condition. Just get used to it. Just do what you gotta do to survive. Did God really say, who the Son sets free is free indeed? To that young person, waiting for that spouse. He's gonna put you in the stand. He's gonna say, did God say there's a time for everything under the sun? He's gonna say, did God really say that? Did God really say there's a time for everything? You can't trust God, right? How can you trust God? Don't trust God's timing, trust your own timing. Just make it happen on your own. Even though you're not ready and they're not ready and it's not the right season, did God really say there's a time for everything? I know he's not a Christian, but he's got an ab swing. 5% body fat. Not the right guy, not the right time. Did God really say? to that young couple. The young couple that, I hear this every 3 to 4 months. Maybe 3 or 6 months, okay. Every 6 months I hear at least this once. I meet a young couple that are thinking about or about to move to the Midwest because they can't believe God to make enough money to live in San Diego. So he's got that person in the stand. The devil's got that person in the stand saying, did God really say, did God really say he's a provider? Did God really say he's Jehovah Jireh? Come on. He's Jehovah Joker. He's playing with you. Not Jehovah Jireh. It's a misprint. Come on, you can't trust God to have enough money to buy a home in San Diego. Are you kidding me? It's so expensive here. Yeah, move to the Midwest where you know nobody, where there is no church you can get planted in. Uproot yourself from a great life. Uproot yourself from a great church. Uproot yourself from friends and go live somewhere where it's $1,200 a month cheaper, because you know, God can provide for that, but he can't provide for this. Like God's like, come on, my streets are made of gold, not diamonds. Like, come on. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the devil saying to people, did God really say? But I'm even more tired of us listening. I'm so tired of people listening to it. Did God really say? Well, yes, he actually did say it. He did say it. He says you are healed. He does say everything works together for good. He does say who the Son sets free is free indeed. He does say there's a time for everything under the sun. He does say that he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He wants to lie to you, but the word of God always trumps the lies of the enemy. The Bible always trumps what the lies are telling you. Did God really say you're going to overcome that addiction? Yes, he did. Did God really say you're going to do something amazing with your life? Yes, he did. Did God really say you're going to start a prayer meeting in your school? And you're going to see lives changed. Did God really say that in your young adult years, you wouldn't throw those years away, but you would follow God, you'd run after him more than that? Yes, he did. Did God really say? Yes, he actually did. So, in summary, Adam and Eve had everything they needed in the garden. Things were good. They're in a garden. There's animals. Come on, we've read the kids' books. It looked amazing. You know, usually the pictures are, you know, they're both looking great. Adam and Eve, they're all healthy and they're feeding a deer and playing a flute. It's like the Bible meets Narnia. I don't know. It's like, it's amazing. Mr. Tumnus is there walking around. Like, it's awesome. They had everything. They had everything they wanted. The garden was awesome. They had everything they wanted. I didn't need it. Like, I still don't understand. It's apple. Like, it wasn't even a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Maybe then I'd get it. They had everything they wanted in the garden. And Jesus is in the wilderness. He's fasting. He's starving. He could have turned stone into bread. So he's in the polar opposite of what Adam and Eve were in. Opposite, completely different. Garden, wilderness, everything, nothing. So why did Adam and Eve stumble and Jesus stand? Because Adam and Eve chose to believe a lie from the devil and Jesus chose not to. And that, my friends, can be the game changer. That, my friends, can be the difference maker. If all you get from my message tonight is that, then that's awesome. Because I don't want to have a church with people that believe the lies of the devil. He is going to come after your identity. He is going to come after you and say, if you really are, and I need you to respond with, yes, I really am. He's going to come after the promises of God in your life. And he's going to say, did God really say? And you can say, yes, he did. Because our theology is not based on what we know, but what God's written. It's based on the word of God. And God has an amazing life for you to step into. And the devil wants to do everything he can to stop that. We can't believe the promises of God if we're preoccupied listening to the lies of the devil. The devil will come after you. But the greatest thing is, it's not that scary. You and I have the Word of God. We have the promises of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to finish this in just a minute. There's one question I want to ask everybody who's here tonight, and that's one question the devil loves to ask people. He loves this question. It's, did God really say you're forgiven? Or did God really say you're worth dying for? The answer is yes, He absolutely did. He absolutely said that. So I'm not sure where you're at tonight. Maybe you've been buying these lies from the devil. Maybe you've spent your whole life feeling like you're lying on the couch at 1:45 in the morning and you keep buying ab swings. You keep buying vacuum cleaners. And you've got all the free steak knives, but after all these lies you've bought, you still feel so empty. God has such a bigger plan for you than lies the devil's told you. He has such an amazing future for you, so much bigger than any lie the devil's ever told you about yourself, shame, any label he's ever put on you, guilt, condemnation. And the greatest truth that you and I can believe is the knowing that Jesus did in fact die for each and every single one of us, despite where we've been, what we've done, what we've gotten up to. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask that question tonight. If you're not walking with Jesus tonight, tonight is your night to stop believing the lies from the devil and step into what God has for you. He has such an amazing plan and future for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you tonight, if you've just believed way too many lies from the devil, tonight's your night. Reconnect with God. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just wave your hand at me right now. Thank you. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Who else is there? Thank you, I see your hand, ma'am. Who else is there? Who else is there? Come on, we've only got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure I give you enough time to respond tonight. Thank you, I see your hand. Who else is there? It's been long enough. It's been too long. Thank you, I see your hand over there. Come on, don't let the devil lie to you for another day. Right now he's saying, oh, you can do it next Sunday. Why? Why wait 7 days? Why live 7 more days living under what God's called you to live over? Come on, there's still one more person. Who is that person? Thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody? Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Who else is there? Come on, God's knocking on the door of your heart. Who else is there? Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand over there. So proud of you. Thank you. I see your hand as well. Thank you, Jesus. You can open your eyes, church. Oh, one more hand. Thank you. I'm so proud of all of you that raised your hands. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. You see, there's so many of you that raised your hands. I'm not going to have time to come and pray for every single one of you individually. So what I would love to do is in about 20 seconds time, we're all going to stand up, and I want to invite all of those that raise their hands just to do something really brave. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, hey, would you come with me? I want you to come down the front, and I actually want to shake your hand really quickly, and then we're all just going to pray a powerful prayer together. So I want us to all stand to our feet, and we do this every week at church, but I want us to give the biggest shout of praise. I want us to encourage every single person. Come on, come down the front now. This is your time. This is your moment. This is your night. Come down the front right now. For those of you that raise your hand, come on down. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Come on down. Come on. Come on. We're cheering you on, man. Come on. Who else is there? Come on. Hi. How you doing? Who else is there? Who else is there? Come on, let's keep clapping, let's keep clapping them. Hi, how you doing? Amazing. Amazing. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, good to see you, my friend. Amazing. How you doing? How's it going? incredible. Is there anybody else? Hey, I know it can be a little bit daunting coming down here, so if you don't want to, you can pray with somebody from our team straight after service. But I'm so proud of you guys for coming down the front. This is a whole new day for your life, every single one of you. What's your name, sir?
Fabian.
Have I met you before?
Nope, first time.
First time. Is it your first time at our church?
Yep.
That's awesome, man. How'd you hear about our church? Your sister. Well, your sister's awesome. We love your sister. She did a good thing bringing you along.
Yeah.
You thought you were just going to go sing some songs and maybe grab some of the leaders, go home. And God's like, you can still do the leaders. But God's just like, you know, I'm just going to completely change that. I'm just going to completely change your life. Completely. Get your life. Change that one. So awesome. I'm so proud of every single one of you. So just so you know, this is actually a huge, massive moment of your life. This is an amazing moment of your life. God's going to come into your life right now. And this is a whole new life for you, a whole new pathway for you to walk down. So we're going to pray a prayer all together now. And I'd love for, in fact, the whole church, let's all pray this prayer together, shall we? And I'd love for you to pray it with me. Let's do this. Dear Jesus, thank you for hanging on a cross for my sin. I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's give Jesus a mighty shout of praise. So good. Well, I'm so proud of you guys. So just to my left, to your right, we have a man here named Caleb. He's actually a model, but he's also a great minister. And he has a team of people that just want to give you a free gift. We want to give you a book called Following Jesus, because we want to teach you and help you to follow Jesus. We're going to give you a Bible. And if you've already got a Bible, just take it and give it to somebody, sell it on eBay, whatever. Take a Bible, and they're just going to pray with you. We love you. We're so proud of you for coming out in the front. You're amazing. So just would you turn, go with Caleb and his team. Come on, church, give them one more shout. Amen. Listen. We're going to close the service, but listen, if anybody in here feels like that was maybe a word for them tonight, if you feel like, man, I'm kind of tired of listening to the lies of the devil. I'm tired of it. I want to actually just in your seat. You don't have to come down the front. Just raise your hands to heaven right now. If you're tired of hearing the lies from the enemy, if you've maybe listened to a few lies that you maybe think, you know what, I'm going to be free of that tonight. Or maybe you're just feeling like you want to draw a line in the sand and say, that's it. There's no more lies for my life. I know who I am in Christ, and I know who God is, and I know the promises that He has for me. God, right now, I thank you for every single person in this church. God, I thank you for freedom over every single person. Freedom from the lies, from the enemy. God, right now, I declare, God, chains being broken off people. Labels that have been put on people, removed in Jesus' name. To the person who feels like they've been labeled a failure, I say you're not a failure in Jesus' name. To that person who's thinking about ending their own life, I'm saying you're not going to do that in Jesus' name. God has a bigger plan for your life. Right now we break labels off people. We break lies off people. Your greatest days are ahead of you and they're not behind you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Come on, if you believe that, give Jesus one more mighty shout.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.